I want to share something with you, some thoughts that has come to my own heart in this past week. And that is about an addiction. Now get your minds working there. I hope you are paying attention. The addiction of distraction. Somebody has called it the distraction addiction. Even to get my thoughts together, there have been so many things that have happened over the last few days, and particularly yesterday, to distract me from what God is primarily saying to me. So what I'm sharing with you is what God has been speaking to me about distraction. And somebody has said in the magazine Christianity Today that the issue of ministering to an overwhelmed and distracted culture is one of the greatest challenges of today's Christian church. You got that? The issue of ministering, and that's not just speaking from the pulpit, but even in our personal relationship with one another, to an overwhelmed and distracted culture is one of the greatest challenges for today's church. Now, I would add to that, therefore, what Peter says, we need the prophetic word made more sure as a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, where the morning star, where Christ takes over completely my mind, my attention, that I have the mind of Christ. And the Message Bible puts that word very well, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. The prophetic word was confirmed to us. You'll do well to keep focusing on it. It's the one light you have in a dark time. I like that. It's the one light you have in a dark time as you wait for daybreak and the rising of the morning star in your hearts. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That is the morning star. So therefore, what has come to me, we have to take up this fight against addiction. It's worse than drugs, worse than alcohol, worse than pornography. When you really think about it, distraction. We get so easily distracted, and the Bible is literally full of incidents where God could not accomplish His purpose because His people or His servants allowed the devil to distract them. And I think that even as I'm speaking now, some of you are distracted. You're thinking of things that have happened yesterday, last week, and things that may happen in the future. And that is why when we hear the word in the church, it doesn't bear fruit in our lives. Or if it does, it's probably very less, even less than 30%. But I hope that the Holy Spirit will get your attention this morning, because it's spoken to my heart, and I want to work on it. I look at it as weeds that come up in the garden, that we don't pluck them out by the root in the beginning. They begin to spread until the whole garden gets taken over by weeds, and that's our mind. That's exactly what can happen to us if we don't deal with this addiction, the addiction of distraction. And like I said, the Bible is full of incidents where God could not accomplish His purpose because His people or His servants chose or allowed themselves to be distracted. That's why Jesus spoke about Mary to Martha. Only one thing is necessary, and Mary has chosen it. Martha, you're distracted about many things. I wonder whether the Lord has to say that to you and me this morning. Put your name there. I know He said that to me. You're distracted about many things. Only one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen it. It's a choice, my brothers and sisters. It's not positive thinking. It's a choice, and it's a daily choice. It's a moment-by-moment choice. I choose not to allow the devil to distract me, to shift my focus of what God has for me in this one life on earth. And Paul was so burdened that, you know, he wrote 1 Corinthians 7, many things there about marriage and even if you're married. And he says there in 1 Corinthians 7, verse 35, I want you to look at that word. It's a good word that we can always keep before us. 1 Corinthians 7, 35, he speaks about marriage and those who want to get married and those who want to remain unmarried and many things like that. But he says here in 1 Corinthians 7, verse 35, he says, I say this for your own benefit, not to put a restraint upon you, but to promote what is appropriate and to secure undistracted devotion to the Lord. You see that there? Paul was gripped with that. Paul himself knew. But I tell you that we have two wonderful examples in Jesus and Paul. They refused not to let themselves get distracted from what God had for their life on earth. And I want that we really take it seriously, my brothers and sisters, to deal, first of all, acknowledge it's an addiction. I have acknowledged before God, Lord, I am addicted. Like I said, worse than any other addiction. And we need to be cured. Otherwise, we'll be destroyed, we'll miss God's purpose that God has for us in this one life. In verse 32 of that 1 Corinthians 7, you know, he says, I want you to be free from concern. I want you to be free from concern. I want to secure undistracted devotion to the Lord. And he was afraid, you know, what would happen to the church in Corinth. He says in 2 Corinthians, you can turn to that word, 2 Corinthians in chapter 11, a word that we have heard very often here. He says there in verse 2, he says, I'm jealous for you with a godly jealousy, for I betrothed you to one husband so that to Christ I might present you as a pure virgin. But I'm afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds will be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. Your minds will be led astray. You know, when you're led astray, it's gradual. You don't notice it. That's what distraction is. It's gradual. It slowly moves us away and shifts our focus to other things, and usually it's things of the earth. And we lose out on what God wants to do in our lives. So he says here, he says, I'm afraid, as a serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds will be led astray. Eve was led astray. She allowed the devil to distract her and deceive her by his craftiness. Did God say? He aimed for her mind. Did God really say, you should not eat from every tree of the garden? And that's where she began to go astray. She entered into a conversation with Satan. And that's how it is, my brothers and sisters. And that's how the devil can distract you and me and shift our focus every day. And we don't notice it. The children of Israel, they got distracted when they saw the giants. Two men who were focused, Joshua and Caleb. The rest, the majority, allowed themselves to be distracted and literally blind them. They missed God's purpose for their life. They perished, they died in the wilderness. Only Joshua and Caleb made it through. It's always a minority. The devil used Peter to try and distract Jesus from going the way of the cross because his mind was set on man's interests and not on God's interests. And so Jesus had to say to him, get behind me, Satan. Because your mind is set on man's interests and not on God's interests. Remember that, my brothers and sisters. If my mind is set on God's interests, then the devil has a hold. And he can easily move me away and steer me away from the purpose and path that God has for your life and mine. When we set our mind on man's interests, we have to do our jobs, we go to work, you sisters have to do work in the home, send your children to school and many things, keep home and look after your husband and your children and many things all of us have to do. But like we heard Brother Zach say, should be like a rubber band. You know, we do it, we're back again in focus. But I'm sorry to say that that rubber band becomes slack. You know, like rubber bands, after a period of time they become slack, so they don't go back. And that's what happens with most of us. And the devil succeeds in distracting us from whatever it is. It's daily things. You know, you can decide, no, I must write that email. And so many other things. You open the internet and your attention is taken up here, taken up there. Something interesting comes up. You've got all these things popping up. You decide to go and maybe help somebody who's discouraged and thing, but you put it off. And there are other things that occupy your attention. All the time, every day, 24/7. This is the battle we are fighting. It's an addiction. If I acknowledge it's an addiction and I have to deal with it and I have to be cured of this addiction, then there is hope. Demas, he was distracted. He loved the present world, Paul says, and he deserted Paul. He missed God's purpose altogether. And somebody has said, you know, who's written a book on distraction addiction, he says one of the devil's greatest tools is distraction. It's a devastating weapon. The devil may smile every time we disobey God blatantly, but he's just as pleased when he lures us into meaningless distraction. And he says, distraction is the enemy of focus and clarity. Two components necessary to lead a spiritual life or to lead a godly life. Distraction is the enemy of focus and clarity. Clarity means you see things clearly. To be focused. Distraction is the enemy of both these two components, he says, necessary to live a godly life. And he goes on to say, is there, I wonder, any great thing that can be done when you're constantly distracted? Can distracted people change the world? Write the great American novel? Solve big problems? Deepen their faith? I think not, which is one reason I wrote the book. Distraction, addiction. The battle is for our minds, my brothers and sisters. Let's recognize that. The devil is not so much interested in leading you into some gross sin like adultery or pornography if you're not indulging in it. He's not all the time trying to get you there, even though you may go to the internet. The devil's greatest tool, which he uses very successfully, is distraction. I have come to recognize it. But like I said, I've begun to see it as weeds, which have to be plucked out root by root. Otherwise they grow again. And I have been crying out to God, Lord, help me. David in Psalm 50 says, I'm sorely distracted. Because he faced a problem with his enemies there. And is that the case with some of us? We are sorely distracted. Things that have happened, things that we think are going to happen. We think about our children. We think about, you know, what the future is going to be, and so many things we worry about. And we don't take worry and anxiety seriously. And so we get distracted. This man who wrote this book, you know, Alex Pang, says, connection is inevitable, distraction is a choice. Connection is inevitable. Apply it to anything, not only to the internet. Connection is inevitable, but distraction is a choice. And in every day, everything, we connect with people, we connect different things. It's inevitable, we get connected. But distraction is a choice. I make that choice. And I have to choose that I'm not going to allow the devil to distract me. the memory verse that we had, God has begun a good work in you and me. And He will complete it. But God can be hindered because I'm distracted. Do you know that? I can't just hold on to that word and say that God has begun a good work in me and He will perfect it. He will not leave it incomplete. God will say to me on that day, I wanted to complete the work in you. But you were so distracted. You were so distracted about many things. I couldn't complete what I started in you. Do you recognize that, my brothers and sisters? Let's not deceive ourselves. You know, we can have a virtual reality. We can have we are in an illusion. No, you know, God has promised. He's begun a good work in me. He will complete it. He will not let me drown. He will not leave it unfinished. But the Lord will say to me on that day, I wanted to complete that work, Ian, but you were so distracted. May it not be, my brothers and sisters. We have the scriptures to guide us, to get us focused, and Jesus is the best example. I want you to look at this. I want you to think of two scriptures, Isaiah 50, Jesus is an example of focus, not getting distracted, and Philippians 3, Paul. Two excellent examples, and here's what the Holy Spirit says about Jesus in Isaiah 50. Listen to it. We've heard it many times, this word. But now think of it in time, in context of what we are talking about, of being distracted. You'll see it here. So verse 4, Isaiah 50 verse 4. The Lord God has given me the tongue of disciples, that I may know how to sustain the weary one with a word. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to listen as a disciple. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not disobedient, nor did I turn back. I gave my back to those who strike me, and my cheeks to those who pluck out the beard. This is Jesus. I did not cover my face from humiliation and spitting, for the Lord God helps me. Therefore, I am not disgraced. Therefore, and this is a word I want to underline for us. Therefore, I have set my face like flint, and I know I will not be ashamed. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up to each other who has a case against me. And that Isaiah is prophesying about Jesus. I've set my face as a flint. We read in the Gospels, I can't remember the reference, that the disciples were so scared when they saw Jesus so focused, set to go to Jerusalem. He set his face steadfastly to go to Jerusalem. And that's what Isaiah prophesied about him. I've set my face like a flint. Flint is a stone, a sharp stone. So sharp, you know, you can cut with it. They made knives in the Stone Age with flint stone. I've set my face as a flint. I know I will not be ashamed. That's how it must be with you and me. I will not be ashamed. I will be focused. I've set my face as a flint. Paul, like I said, is another excellent example. You look at Philippians 3. When you get time, I would encourage you to meditate on these two passages of scripture. I really believe it will help us to pluck out the weeds, to get focused. Philippians 3, verses 7 to 14. Paul says there, whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. Notice that there. All things as loss. And not just in his mind, he counted everything as loss. He said, I've suffered the loss of all things. You know, it's one thing to think about these things and to preach about it. But it's another thing when we face the reality to suffer the loss of all things. And he says, count them but rubbish, but dog's dung, so that I may gain Christ, may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that is which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on. You know, he's focused. I press on so that I may lay hold of that which also I was laid hold of by Christ. Not an illusion, it's not a mirage, it's real. I press on because Christ has laid hold of me for something. So I press on. He says, brethren, I don't regard myself as having laid hold of it yet. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. What a man. I hope we are challenged for what we read in Isaiah 50 and what we read in Philippians 3 about Jesus and about Paul. Men who were focused. Never allowed the devil to distract them. Paul was willing to lose all his co-workers. And I thank God that we have a brother in our midst as an example. Not just Jesus and Paul, but Brother Zach. I've seen it. Focused. Not easy to find men like that, my brothers and sisters. And we don't value them when they live among us. Men who are focused, who are willing to suffer the loss of all things. And not just willing, but we've seen it. And like Paul was willing to lose even if he had to stand alone. He says, the Lord stood by me and strengthened me. That's how focused we must be. And it's not just Jesus and Paul and Brother Zach. It's you and me. Do we think it's only for such ones? God wants to raise up many more among us for this next generation. Young men and young women who are focused will not allow the devil to distract them. Who are so full of the Holy Spirit. God has spoken powerfully to my heart, and I tell you, it was a challenge putting my thoughts together. I was so distracted. I cried to the Lord, Lord, I'm distracted. I know you're saying something to me, and I want to share it with my brothers and sisters, but so many things are distracting me. Please help me. And I believe He will help me, and He will help you. A lot of things that distract you, my brothers and sisters. A lot of things that happen in your home, in your life. Things with your family, with your wife, with your children. And you're distracted. Like Jesus said, you're so distracted about many things. One thing. Only one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen it. Will you make that choice, my brothers and sisters? I've made mine. And God helping me, I want to keep it. To listen. That's what he said to Martha. You are distracted about many things. Only one thing is necessary. Can we put that before us all the time? Only one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen it. So how do we fight distraction? Here we have examples. And thank God we have some examples in our midst. Let's follow them. Let's pray and ask the Lord to give us the Holy Spirit in all His fullness, like in the beginning. It drives me to tears to say, Lord, we are drifting. It's not like it was in the beginning. It really breaks my heart when I see, Lord, where are we heading as a church? We're just gathering people. who are distracted about many things, who are not gripped like it was in the beginning with a few of us. May the Lord bring a revival, my brothers and sisters. May God touch your heart and touch your spirit and mind. Revive us. We are drifting. The devil is leading us astray from simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. Recognize it. Our minds are being led astray. He's not leading us into some gross sins. I tell you, if there's something that he wants to do in CFC, is to lead our minds astray from simple, pure devotion to Christ, getting us occupied with many other things. So firstly, it has to do with our minds. There are four things I want to share with you quickly. It has to do with our minds. We have to set our minds on God's interests and not man's. We have to do what the Holy Spirit tells us to do, not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. That's the only way. It's not positive thinking. It's not hearing a message and hearing things like this, and I'm going to decide, I'm going to set my mind on God's interest. I tell you, my brothers and sisters, you walk out of that door, you'll fail. I've recognized it. The only way is to let the Holy Spirit come upon me like he did in the beginning and continue changing me like he did in the beginning. Changing my mind, renewing my mind, helping me not to let the world squeeze me into its mold, not be conformed to the world, but to be transformed by the renewing of my mind, that I may, like it says in Romans 12:2, that's what I'm quoting, may prove what the acceptable will of God is, that which is good and perfect. Acceptable, good and perfect. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. And if I let the Lord begin today, I will get focused again. I'll be gripped again like it was in the beginning. And I want to do that, at least in my life. I don't know how much time I have left, but Lord, I said, I want to come back. Come back to that first love, come back to that place where nothing else mattered. We just wanted to live for you and serve your purpose. Jesus at 12 years said, I must be about my Father's business. He told his parents, at 12 years, I must be about my Father's business. See how early he got focused. You young people, some of you, I think they've gone to Sunday school, or maybe they're still there. Yeah, Sunday school children are here. You 12-year-olds, you can get focused. Jesus at your age, if you're 12, said, I must be about my Father's business. Do you not know that I must be about my Father's business? It challenges me. That's how he grew up. You teenagers, will you let the Holy Spirit take hold of your mind? Don't just wait to get into that tank. But before you get into the tank, say, Lord Jesus, baptize me in the Holy Spirit and fire. Change me. I don't need to get into that tank. You can do it before I get into that tank and be baptized. It's good to obey the Lord in the waters of baptism. But Lord, I need the baptism of the Holy Spirit desperately. I want to say to you, those of you who are planning to be baptized, otherwise you're just going to add to this number. You're going to just add to the whole lot of number of people who are distracted. I want to tell you, I really believe that most of us, very few among us, are really taking it seriously to fight distraction, to fight this addiction. And if you've never seen it as addiction, I hope you'll see it this morning. An addiction that you need to overcome, that you need to be free from. Worse than any other addiction that you can think about. I have no doubt about it. Since I've got light on this, and since God has been speaking to me, it's the devil's greatest tool that he's using very successfully among God's people. I'm not talking about all the nominal Christians. I'm talking about God's people, God's family. Who was Jesus speaking to? A family, to Martha, who are disciples. You are distracted about many things. Only one thing is necessary, and that's the second thing. choose the only one thing necessary. It's a choice. It's not something that I decide, yes, I think that I will do that. I have to make a choice, and I tell you, my brothers and sisters, and it's not just in this meeting. When you walk out through that door, there are choices that you're going to have to make to choose the one thing necessary. You cannot do anything about yesterday. You made wrong choices. You cannot do anything about last year. You failed. You messed up. You can do something about today. You can't do anything about tomorrow. But today is the day of salvation. Today, if you hear my voice, God says, don't harden your heart. Today, when God speaks to me as I go out from church today, and then that's not necessary. You can do that some other time. I want you to listen to me. I tell you, my brothers and sisters, if we really take that seriously, God can do a work in a very short time in your life and mine. We can contribute. We can stem, if I were to use the word stem, the decay and corruption that is entering CFC. We can stem it. If we are willing to choose the one thing necessary. In our use of the internet, these social websites, you hear God speak to you? Messaging, WhatsApp messages, back and forth, back and forth. And good morning, you get a message and something nice, some verse of scripture. I had to tell one sister, please, I don't have time to read those. Stop sending it to me, and wakes me up at 2 o'clock in the morning because she's in some other country. And we think we're serving God, we're fulfilling God's purpose. Sending these messages, these texts, wasting time. Meaningless. You know, this is what this man said in Christianity Today. He says he discusses another problem, minor distractions, constant tweeting, text messages, calendar reminders, anxiety-laced news, take us away from the stillness needed to seek God. You realize that? You think, yeah, I'm sending something scriptural, I'm sending a promise. And God says, I want to speak to you. Will you choose the one thing necessary? You can send that afterwards. I have something to say to you. That's what Jesus said to Simon. I have something to say to you. You were quick to judge that woman. Simon, I have something to say to you. And God says to you and me, I have something to say to you. And just stop for a moment. Don't get distracted. Choose the one thing necessary, my brothers and sisters. To listen. Listen as a disciple. That word we read in Isaiah 50 says, the Lord God has opened my ear. In Psalm, that's from Psalm 40. The Lord has pierced my ear to listen. And you go back to an incident in the Old Testament where a slave, after he served 7 years and he could be free, said, no, I don't want to go. I love my master and love my wife and my children. I want to stay. And it was the law in that time. He's taken to the doorpost of his master's house and his ear was pierced with an awl. You know what the shoemaker uses to stitch? With an awl, his ear was pierced. Now they do it with a gun. And ladies as well as men want to wear these things for whatever reason, I don't know. It's okay for ladies, but I don't know why men have to have it. It really perplexes me. I don't know, left ear, right ear, there's some, left ear something, right ear something. Oh, I tell you, all kinds of things. Let's get our ears pierced by the Holy Spirit, my brothers and sisters. I want mine pierced. So I can listen as a disciple. And be focused. And that's the third thing. Stay focused. Paul says, one thing I do. forget what lies behind. Reach forward, press forward to what is before. Like I said, you cannot do anything about yesterday. Don't worry about tomorrow. Worry and anxiety are sins that you and I have to constantly confess and repent of. That's the only way I get victory from worry and anxiety. You can't do anything about tomorrow by worrying about next year, about your children's future, marriage, all these things. Why do you worry? Like that song says, when you can pray. One thing, forget what lies behind. Be free from concern. Press on, Paul says, toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And the last thing, we must have clarity. I told you, distraction robs us of focus and clarity in fulfilling the purpose of God for our lives. To have clear vision, to see all things clearly, not men as trees walking. Lord, I want to see clearly. Touch me a second time if need be. I want to see clearly. To have clear goals and clear priorities and clear values. Know who you are and where you're headed. Who you are. I'm a son and a daughter of the living God. Lord God of heaven and earth, we heard. Father, I can call him, but he's Lord God of heaven and earth. I know who I am and where I'm heading. That's what it is to have clarity. And to be like what it says of Jesus, I am not disgraced. I've set my face like a flint. I know I will not be ashamed. And may God really help us, my brothers and sisters. I've shared with you what God has been speaking to my heart. Because I've, like I said, we contribute to the direction this church takes. We have a whole lot of distracted people. We will be a distracted church like we see around us. Many other things have taken the place of what Jesus wants for his church. And I would leave with you finally 1 Peter 1:13, a word that you can think of. I'll read it to you from the Message Bible. It says, so roll up your sleeves. Got it? You're getting into action. Put your mind in gear. Be totally ready to receive the gift that's coming when Jesus arrives. Don't lazily slip back into those old grooves of evil, doing just what you like doing. You didn't know any better then. You do now. As obedient children, let yourselves be pulled into a way of life shaped by God's life. A life energetic and blazing with holiness. Because God said, I am holy, you be holy. That is God's purpose for your life and mine. Let's really seek God to be cured of this addiction, distraction. Lord, begin this morning. I yield my life to you. Baptize me afresh with the Holy Spirit so that I can get focused. I can be like you, Lord Jesus. I set my face like a flint so that you can fulfill, complete the work that you have begun in my life. That I will not have to say, to hear at the end of my days, I wanted it complete, but you didn't let me. You were distracted about many things. You didn't choose the one thing necessary. Will we make that choice now? Maybe we can bow our heads for a moment. And if God has spoken to your heart, say, Lord, I want to be cured of this addiction. I've been sorely distracted. Distracted about many things. But I want to get focus from today. I cannot do it in my own strength. Give me the Holy Spirit. Lord, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us as a church. We need a renewal. We need a baptism of fire. I pray that you will meet with us, meet with me. Because we have a needy world around us. Help us to be like you. Help us to be like the examples of those who have accomplished your purpose. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Have you heard of a word called C-coma? C-comas, you know, we have many diseases. One disease I discovered is C-coma. C-coma is comfort coma. Most of us, once we become comfortable, we get distracted. We have few examples in the Bible, negative examples. We can look at it. That is in 2 Samuel chapter 11. 2 Samuel chapter 11 verse 1. Then it happened in the spring at the time when kings so out of battle that David sent Joab, his servant, with him and all Israel. They destroyed the last word. David stayed at Jerusalem. We know here David's supposed to go to a war, but he comfortably stayed at home. He just got distracted with his comfort. We know the rest of the story, how he grabbed somebody else's wife, even he killed the husband of that lady, and he did an evil inside of God's eye. And he was comfortable in his zone, and he got distracted. One more man, 1 Kings chapter 11. 1 Kings chapter 11. Here we see Solomon. 1 Kings chapter 11 verse 1. King Solomon loved many foreign women. You know, these days we may not have many wives or many women, but we get comfortably distracted with comforts. You know, if at all I get this job, if at all I get this MNC job, if at all I get a visa to this country, if at all I marry this beautiful girl. You know, young people, the battle is in the mind. We get distracted so much with our work, with the fame in the work, and also the salary, beautiful wife or a girl. Solomon loved many foreign women. Very sad thing about Solomon, you read in verse 3, the last part, his wives turned his heart away. His wives turned his heart away. Verse 4, for it came about when Solomon was old, his wives turned his heart away after other gods. His heart was not wholly devoted to the Lord his God. The heart of David his father had been. My brothers and sisters, Solomon was chosen man. Solomon was chosen to build the temple of God. Solomon was chosen to, take the baton forward after David. But Solomon got distracted with all this comfort, beautiful things of the world. These days may not be many women, but one girl. If I marry that one beautiful girl, that's enough. If I get that job, if I get that MNC job, if I get a visa to USA, we are so distracted. And, verse 6, Solomon did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, my brothers and sisters. You know, the Solomon was chosen person to build the tabernacle, the temple of the Lord. But the Solomon, after building the temple of the Lord, here we see verse 7, Solomon built a high place for the Chemosh, the detestable idol of Moab, on the mountain which is east of Jerusalem. We see the same man who built the temple for the Lord went and built the temple for a foreign god. We may be chosen by God. We may have come to the joy of salvation. But we get distracted with the comfort, distracted with the beauties of this world. My brothers and sisters, it's a warning for us like a Solomon. We may land up in, doing something evil in sight of the Lord. It's a warning. Let's see where all this started in Solomon's life. If we turn to 1 Kings chapter 6, 1 Kings chapter chapter 6, the last verse 38. 1 Kings chapter 6, verse 38, the last part. Very two statements that really, really wants me. He was 7 years in the last part. You know, we know the story that he built the temple for the Lord. He was 7 years in the building. It means he was building the large temple for 7 years. The next statement, chapter 7, verse 1. Solomon was building his own house for 13 years. He finished all his house. He spent very little time in God's work. in doing God's will, but he spent a lot of time in his own personal work. Solomon was building his own house for 13 years. You know, I think he got distracted in that area. He wanted to build a very comfortable place. Nothing wrong in building a comfortable place. His mind was distracted. So we saw about David, we saw about Solomon. One more sister was distracted. We heard about her now. Luke chapter 10 verse 40. Luke chapter 10 verse 40. Martha was distracted. You know, David and Solomon, they were distracted in the comfort. They were distracted in the worries of this world. I mean, the beauties of this world. But Martha did something good. She was distracted with all this preparation. In fact, she's preparing food for Lord Jesus Christ. She did very good thing. Many times we get distracted with the good things, what we do for others, what we do in the church. We are so, you know, taken up with this. The one more word for distraction is we are preoccupied. My brothers and sisters, let's understand how much our mind is occupied with other things other than our Lord Jesus Christ. Martha was doing good thing. She was distracted with all the preparation what she did for the Lord. Cooking is important, working in the world, working in the office is important, even serving in the church is important. But are we preoccupied in our mind, my brothers and sisters? As Brother Ian said, battle is in our mind. Our mind, what is occupying our mind, even after coming back from office, is the work, the work-related thing is occupied in our mind, even though it's not needed. Even when we're sitting in the meeting, is what to do in the youth meeting or what to do in the how to clean the toilet. Are we occupied with this? It's natural when we are taken with some responsibility, this distraction come into the mind. But as we heard, the battle is in the mind. But when we commit our mind to the Lord, the battle belongs to the Lord. We can commit, Lord, I want to commit this area, my mind. You become the Lord of my mind, Lord Jesus. You fight the battle for me. As God's word said, battle belongs to the Lord. Young people, let's learn to commit our mind to the Lord. Let's learn to commit our thoughts to the Lord. He can fight for us. He can fight with Goliath so that we can become pure in our thoughts. Of course, as we heard, the Martha and whatever she did, it's good. But let's not get preoccupied with this. It is possible, cooking in the kitchen, still keeping our ears sharp to the Lord. Even we work in the office, we can keep our ears sharp to the Lord. The last one verse I want to, Isaiah 50. You know, we hear, he kept his ears sharp. You know, many, in the morning by morning, when we say morning, it's not 7 o'clock in the morning. Many times, you know, young people, we get up in the middle of the night or early morning, 3 o'clock, 2 o'clock. What thought goes in our mind? Is it some worries of this world or are we scheming something? Here it's a beautiful verse, Isaiah 50 verse 4. The Lord has given me a tongue of a disciple. And the last part, he awakens my ear to listen as a disciple. When we get up in the middle of the night, Lord, give me a ear to listen to you, Lord. I don't want to get preoccupied with all these worries of this world or good things of this world. I want to listen to you, Lord, so that I can speak a word to encourage others. May God bless each one of us, my brothers. Amen.
Before we close, let's remind ourselves of what we heard this morning. The opposite of distraction is to be focused. You know, the mark of a leader is he's focused. He doesn't deviate. And one great leader, we read from Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 3. Nehemiah was focused. God called him to do a job and he didn't deviate. For example, in Nehemiah chapter 6, the enemies came to Nehemiah and said, let's come to the valley of Ono, O-N-O. And come, let's discuss. And you know what Nehemiah said? Verse 3. I sent messengers to them saying, I'm doing a great work. I cannot come down. I like that verse. I heard that when I was young. It's always stayed with me. That's being focused, brothers and sisters. To say, I'm here to do God's will. I'm here to obey God's word. I'm here to build the body of Christ. I'm not going to deviate. We want some young brothers and sisters and older brothers and sisters also like that. Who can tell the devil. Like, I never forgot one brother told me this verse. Nehemiah chapter 6 verse 2. So they asked him to come to the place of O no. He said, oh no. Next time tell the devil, oh no, I'm not going to be distracted. I want to stay focused. Yeah, I'm tempted. Maybe I backslid a little bit, but come back and say, Lord, I want to get back to that vision. And Mary was focused. Mary said, Lord, I want your presence. I want to sit at your feet. And brothers and sisters, that's what the devil seeks to lead us away from God's presence. Jesus was there. For Mary, cooking was more important than the presence of Jesus. And we are not any better than Mary. We are also like that. We are so busy. Mary was too, like someone said, Mary was not disobeying the Ten Commandments, or she was not living in any sin. No, she didn't value the presence of Jesus so much. And sometimes we are so busy, so many good things. Many, many times I believe the Lord wants to tell us, come back, I want to spend time with me. And you know, this verse in Luke chapter 9, verse 52. That verse has challenged me many times. Luke chapter 9, verse 62. You know, many people say, Lord, I'll follow you. But they say, Lord, first I want to bury my father. Other things are more important. Jesus said, you go and proclaim the kingdom of God first. And 62, it says, I want to read from the Living Bible. Anyone who's distracted from the work I have for him. Somebody's got a Living Bible? Let me be exact. Anyone who allows himself to be distracted from the work I have for him is not fit for the kingdom of God. Let's close the meeting with that. I'll read that again. Anyone who lets himself be distracted from the work I plan for him is not fit for the kingdom of God. Jesus is using such strong language. Brothers and sisters, let's be focused. Let's stick to our calling. And if you're distracted, the Lord's saying, you're not fit for the kingdom of God. That's very serious. You see, the doctor, those are studying for medicine. I don't see them distracted. I see a lot of those who are doing BA, BCom. I'm not despising them, by the way. They get distracted. They go to movies and all during college, but not medical students. They are focused. They know they must finish their medical course and become a good doctor. Oh, may the Lord give us grace. Say, Lord, I want to be a disciple. And that's what Jesus says. Seek first the kingdom of God. In other words, when you're distracted, your priorities are different. And that's the whole thing, brothers and sisters. The Lord wants to help us to have right priority. And today we are living in a world so many believers are distracted by TV, distracted by internet, distracted by mobile. I see so many young people always on the mobile and the internet. And friends. And no wonder they're not growing. And like we heard, we've got to examine our priorities and say where we are wrong. And Lord, help me. Help me to shift my priorities and be focused so that people can see this brother's focus. And Jesus, the Bible says, let's run the race looking unto Jesus. Jesus said, I must do the will of him who sent me. Oh, may God give us grace to be a church like that. And where we have gone astray, help one another. Husbands and wives, maybe one of them is watching TV too much. You got to tell them, listen, I've been observing you. Too much time on TV, that's not good. Cut down. Maybe too much time with the friends, cut it down. Maybe too much time with the internet, cut it down. And oh my God, give us grace to really be transformed, like from being a Martha to being a Mary. What a blessed church if we have more Marys in the church. Sisters, you can be like Mary. Oh my God, help us, and let's respond to what the Lord is saying this morning. And not just take it as a message. Examine your priorities. Let's all examine our priorities. See where we have gone astray, where we have been distracted, and take some corrective action, brothers and sisters. Then you can say that you got some blessing this morning. I do that. I constantly do that. Lord, I see my priorities are wrong. I want to change it. Help me, Lord. And if you are like that this morning, the Lord will help you so that you have right priorities, so that in a short time we can fulfill God's plans and purposes. Amen. Amen.